Amen. Thank you, Christopher, for coming in and singing to an empty room this morning and yet full hearts and knowing that we're gathering, just not in this room this morning. Kingdom people respond differently. This morning I want to talk to you about us, those of us who are children of God. We are kingdom people. That means we're different people. So what's the kingdom people response to crisis? As we talk about that this morning, you need to understand that there is a thief. There is a thief, and that thief wants to steal our faith and replace it with fear. And I know that that's what's happening across our country and all across the world. Any thought of faith has been stolen and replaced with this awful fear. So this morning, I'd ask you to say, what's the big idea? Thank you, Barry Toombs. I know he did it wherever he's at. But we are going to get into our big idea this morning. We must have an enduring faith during a raging storm. There is no doubt that this is a raging storm. COVID-19 is against us. That is true. I've preached this passage dozens of times, and each time I always have to say, I don't know what your storm is. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's medical, maybe it's relational. I always say that, but today I know what storm we're in. This is the first time I've ever preached this passage and knowing that we're all in the same boat. We must have an enduring faith during a raging storm. Matthew 14, 22 through 33 is the passage we'll be in today. I encourage you to have that up somehow on a screen or take out a text. And let's look at Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Let me read it through first this morning. Immediately, I want you to highlight that and stay there for just a second because that is the word that we see happen over and over again in this passage. And it's going to be important to our notes today. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there all alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, roughly 4 a.m., Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." It is I. I want to stop there for a second. Five little words, and bigger than the five whole words before it and after it. Two words before it, take courage. Three words after it, don't be afraid. But five little letters make up an important message this morning. It is I. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Best short prayer ever. There are times for long prayers, and then there's time to get to the point. Peter simply says, "Lord, save me." Immediately, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." I love this passage this morning. I want to wade through these waters with you, talking about the coronavirus and our response as kingdom people. We're different. Our response has to be different. But we need to know God is in control at all times. And he is mighty to save. So I'm excited to give this message this morning. We must have an enduring faith during a raging storm. This is not my outline. Dr. Ed Newton had this message, and I've totally lifted his notes because I found it to be incredibly encouraging to myself, and I wanted you to have these words. It also relies heavily on Dr. Erwin Lutzer's famous message, Surviving the Storm. So many people have preached through this passage and given us so many great thoughts. But the truth is this morning that the wind and the waves that we're facing is this terrible situation our whole world is in right now. How do we respond? Faith over fear. It truly is faith versus fear today. There is a key verse I want to remind us of this morning. It's 2 Timothy 7, verse 1. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I talked about a thief. This famous portrait. A famous portrait painted by Rembrandt in 1633. It's famous because Rembrandt didn't paint any other paintings on water except for this one. This is the only subject of water he ever painted, and it's called The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. It's estimated to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It was in the Gardner Museum in Boston, but on March 18th of 1990, it was stolen. Some people dressed up in fake police uniforms entered the museum in daylight, and they took several paintings worth multiple billions of dollars and got away with it. To this day, in that Gardner Museum in Boston, there's this empty frame that still stays there to remind them of the place where the portrait, The Storm on the Sea of Galilee, once stood. There's a thief. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give it to you to its full. This morning, there's been a great robbery. People have lost their minds. If you've been out recently and tried to shop, you realize people are reaching out for anything to give them hope and confidence. And in the church, we cannot respond this way. Fear. I've been telling our elders, I saw an interview on TV the other night locally where a minister was asked, what are your people doing since you can't gather? And immediately he started talking about money. Immediately he said, my people bring cash, and if they aren't going to be there, we're not going to get the cash. And I thought to myself, what are you thinking? What are you worried about? Why is that the number one concern? Oh, we're not going to be concerned about that. We're not going to worry about that. Our God is good. And finances is not our major concern right now. One of my major concerns a week ago was what's going to make us determine whether we should not have a live service with people gathering or not. You know what? That fear went away immediately midweek, and my focus started shifting. Oh my goodness, what does our church need to be doing to help our community? What does our church need to be doing to make a difference? We got to stop focusing on what we're afraid of and what we don't have or what we're worried about and start focusing on faith and how we as kingdom people can be different than everybody around us running around in fear. Oh, there's a thief. And faith in God is missing in the middle of this storm. So we want to go to these four simple points with an immediate in each one. Four simple points this morning. Because we are in a storm, but God is on the throne. You need to know that this morning. This is definitely a storm, but God is still on the throne, and his arm is not too short to reach us. We have what we need as kingdom people, a God who cares. He did not send this storm, but he is faithful through the storm. And so we want to walk through 4 points this morning in this passage of Matthew 14. Number one, there is a plan in the storm. I hope you have your app. If you've got your app, just click on those little blue little dots there and it'll fill in the blanks for you. If not, hopefully you could have downloaded and printed our notes that we sent out to you yesterday. And there is some discussion questions you can use there also to talk through as a family when you're done listening. There are some color pages, activity things, and little maze for your kids to do or your husband who gets easily distracted. Whatever it takes, I want your family around this today, involved in this today. because everyone needs to hear this. There is a plan in the storm. You know, storms are encountered even when we're following Jesus. Some people think this is a punishment sent by God. It can be an opportunity, I believe. Following Jesus does not get us out of all storms. Sometimes the storm happens while you're following. You need to know that there's a plan in the storm. In Matthew 14, Jesus told them to get into the boat and to go to the other side. He didn't save them before the storm. He sent them into the storm. So this is not out of God's control. Matter of fact, the first immediate today is immediate sovereignty. You have immediate sovereignty in our God who loves us. We need to be reminded of the context. Right before this scene, we have the wonderful scene of the feeding of the 5,000, maybe roughly nearly 20,000 people there for this miracle, but 5,000 men and their women and children were there when the Hebrew Happy Meal event happened, where Jesus came and did a miracle, and everybody was fed. Immediately before this, Jesus provided. And then Jesus tells them, get into the boat and go to the other side, indicating that he would meet them there. They are in a storm, but there is a plan. And we need to have confidence today. This is not out of God's sovereignty. What's happening today is not out of God's control. There is a plan in the storm. Verses 22-24 let us know that there was a plan. And they were to follow the plan. And Jesus would be in the plan. Jesus made them get into the boat and go to the other side. They had never been safer. Can you think about it? If they would have understood and looked back to the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, that Jesus can handle any situation. Nothing's out of his control. And when he told them to get in the boat, go to the other side, I'll meet you there. This could have been one fun trip. If they would have understood that they weren't going down, nothing was going to take them down, they could have enjoyed the ride. I say that because I remember sitting on the ski lift going on this high mountain in Tennessee, and I was sore afraid. I was panicking. To this day, my son and his friend Marcus laugh, thinking of the image of my face in utter fear, way off the ground, thinking I was surely going to die. But if Jesus had shown up on that chairlift and said, you're not going to die, we're going to get to the other side, maybe I could have loosened up. Maybe I could have enjoyed it knowing that there was nothing to worry about. These disciples, these followers of Jesus were in the boat. They were in the storm, but it was part of the plan. There was nothing for them to be afraid of. They'd never been safer. Why? Because we have a sovereign God. He's immediately sovereign. The second thing I see in this passage is that there is a peace in the storm. A peace in the storm. With Jesus, there's always an immediate sufficiency. Oh, he's sufficient. There's nothing lacking in him. He is sufficient for the storm. He had an incredible ability to see as he's up on the mountainside praying the storm roll in. He had an incredible ability to look at the disciples in the boat and realize that they had been rowing for 9 hours and they were still in the middle of the sea about 3 miles out. He viewed the whole thing knowing that he was sufficient for this situation. And there was a plan, and now there can be peace in the storm. Friends, you might feel like you've been rowing for 8 hours. You might feel like you're about ready to be sunk in this storm, but you need to know God shows up right on time, every time. God shows up. If you're so worried today and you're so concerned and full of anxiety and fear and dread and doubt, you need to know in this storm there is a plan, and in this storm there can be peace because Jesus is immediately sovereign and he is immediately sufficient for any storm, and we are his children. We live in an unshakable kingdom. We should have faith over fear. It's an amazing text when Jesus starts walking on the storm. He's walking on water. He's walking on H2O, and it's not H2O, it's H2O disturbed. It's H2O on steroids. There's a storm brewing, and he's walking on it as if it's flat marble. He is sufficient. And then we see the most beautiful thing that Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Peter's looking for some peace. And he knew that it was going to be in Jesus, not in the boat. Jesus says, take courage, don't be afraid. But in the middle, he says those five little letters, it is I. And Peter wants to come out of the boat. Jesus has already told him, take courage, don't be afraid. John 16, verse 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Maybe Peter remembered the five loaves and the little fishies. Maybe he was remembering that Jesus is my flotation device. In any regards, Peter heard the message. It is I. And he wanted to be with Jesus. I love his faith. But Peter didn't get out of the boat and start walking on water. Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the word. There was a word that Peter walked on, and that word was come. When Jesus heard Peter say, if it's you, can I come out there with you? And Jesus said, come. Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on a word, not water. No one's ever walked on water before except for Jesus. But he had faith in the word, and the word was come, and Peter got out of the boat. And he walked on the water. There's peace in the storm, and Jesus is sufficient during the storm. The third thing, there is a promise in the storm. You need to know that there's some things you can count on. As kingdom people, everything that God has said has not disappeared in the last month. Everything God has said is not gone when the stock market goes down. Some of you are fearful of your health. Some of you are fearful of your retirement fund. Some of you are fearful because we don't know. God is still on the throne, and his promises are true today like they were a month ago. His promises are true. There's an immediate here, and the immediate is surety. Peter walked on the word. Jesus said, come. He gets out of the boat, and he walks on water. Because of the promise of Jesus, come, it is I. Take courage. Do not be afraid. Immediate surety. I want you to have surety. In this unsteady time, and the waters are turbulent, the wind is blowing, we can walk strong on marble because we have a God who is mighty to save, and that has not changed. Oh, the promise. What was in the boat? Keep going back to the fact that the boat was the flotation device. I doubt that they had life jackets. I don't think anybody was wearing life jackets back then. Some people want the flotation device for surety. Some people are looking to the safety vest for security. I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking in the boat. Somebody in the boat might have said, oh, this storm is a government conspiracy to make us lose our freedom. Maybe that's what they were saying. Others were saying, we need to gather in this boat and stay in this boat together. We don't need to listen to anybody's warnings. I don't know what they were saying. I don't know what their hope was. People in the boat maybe had other things that they were clinging to, hoping that would bring them confidence. I don't know what they were holding on to. I don't know what they were thinking was going to bring them safety and surety. That's what they were looking for. They wanted safety. They wanted surety that everything is going to be okay. I don't know what they had. Maybe they had supplies that they were counting on. And by the way, don't break into the church. None of this is going to be here after we leave today, so don't come and steal. It's foolish what we see in this world today. People are clinging to things for surety that aren't going to save. It's not mighty to save, my friends. It's not mighty to save. Oh, it's okay to take precaution. It's okay to take concern. It's okay to be prepared as best we can. But are we clinging on to things that will never bring us surety? Oh, the foolishness and the silliness. I'll tell you what was in the boat. The only thing I know that's in the boat are our 12 followers of Jesus. And there's one other thing that you might not notice that's in the boat. Because after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus told them to gather something. The thing that they gathered was the leftovers. There was 12 baskets of leftovers. I wonder where they went. I'll tell you where they went. They went in the boat. And so there's 12 disciples, and each of them have a basket to look at that has food left over, when there was just 5 loaves and 2 fishies. And they're looking at what they should have confidence in. You see, they should have been reminded. Jesus would have told them, I was good to you then. I'll be good to you now. I was good then. I'll be good now. There's confidence and surety because the promise is Jesus. Oh, friends, the storm should remind us of the promises of God. This is the time when you need to cling on to the promises. I was reading yesterday a promise for each day. I can get this resource to you today, but there's a PDF that's 365 promises, a promise each day from the Word of God. I just went and happened to look up the promises right before today and today. March 13th, promise number 72 of this year. I am with you, I will help you, because I am your God. Isaiah 41:10, that's a promise. March 14th, promise 73. I will never abandon you. Hebrews 13:5. March 15th, promise number 74. I see all your hardships and I care about your suffering. Psalm 31:7. March 16th, promise number 75. When you pass through turbulent waters, I will be close to you. Oh, there's promises, friends. I don't know what you're clinging to. I don't know what you're holding on to for hope. But don't make it something that is not sufficient. Don't make it something that's not sovereign. Don't make it something that's not sure. Kingdom people have to be different people because we have a sovereign God. We have a sufficient God. And we have a sure God. And we can put our faith in him. I heard recently of a famous pastor and wife was on a cruise ship, preaching and teaching on this cruise ship and enjoying this cruise. Obviously months ago, not recently. And while they're on the ship, the captain sent out a message saying, we're heading into some really turbulent waters. There's a storm, but we're heading into, you just need to batten down and you need to hang on and it's going to be fine. The famous pastor's wife was not happy about that. So she thought she would send a message to the captain of the ship. So she found somebody, a steward, and said, you need to go tell the captain I'm not happy about this. We ought to just anchor where we're at and just stay here. He said, ma'am, I'll relay the message. A little bit later, the captain came back with a message, and the message delivered to the pastor's wife, and the first thing that he relayed to her was, ma'am, I'm the captain of this ship, and you are not. And number two, this ship was built with this storm in mind. Ah, friends, we need to understand, he's the captain of this ship. You're not. You need to understand that we as kingdom people have been built for a storm like this. We've been built for a storm like this. We're kingdom people. We have a sovereign God, a sure God, a sufficient God. But then we know Peter's faith ended. We make a big deal about he went down, but I'm telling you today, I'm still amazed he walked on water. He got out and on the word he had faith. And he walked on water. But the scripture tells us the winds and the waves were all around him. And his faith ended in the word when he watched the wind and the waves. There's a lot of W's there. His faith ended in the word when he watched the winds and the waves. And he began to sink. Hey, listen, there's three promises in the storm that we can know right from this. Three promises in this storm right now today. Number one, he won't say no. I love Peter's prayer. Lord, save me. What a great prayer. Lord, save me. I'm going to guarantee you one thing. The answer will always be yes when you ask God to save you. He won't say no. And I'm talking about salvation today. Well, I can't promise you the market is not going to affect your finances. I can't promise you that kids being home from school isn't going to disrupt your work schedule. I can't promise you any of these things in the storm. This is all part of the storm. But you need to know that if you cry out, Lord, save me, the answer will always be yes. This morning as we go into this, there are people in this world that don't know what's coming and they're fearful for their life. What an opportunity for the church to give the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. And the answer will always be yes, Lord, save me. Right where you're at this morning, it doesn't matter if you're in your boxer shorts and making pancakes, whatever it is that you're doing, watching this message, if you know that you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, give a simple prayer. It doesn't need to be long and winded and wordy. It can be simple. Lord, save me. And the answer will always be yes. Jesus is a better Savior than you are a sinner. And he will say yes to the short prayer, save me. The second thing we see in this passage that he won't let you go. Oh, he'll never say no, and he won't let you go. When Peter was going down and cried out, Lord, save me, immediately Jesus reached out his hand. Oh, he's not going to let you go. In this storm, you might be thinking that you're underwater, that you've gone down, that you don't know how you're ever going to come up. Well, you've got a Savior who's not going to let you go. You got a Savior who's not going to let you go. Aren't you thankful that when Peter stopped believing and started sinking, that Jesus didn't let him go? Aren't you glad that he didn't say, why are you failing? No, he didn't say that. There's a great picture I'm going to show you in just a minute of what the Savior might have looked like, but I want to finish these three promises. Number one, he won't say no. Number two, he won't let you go. Number three is he won't let you walk solo. Don't forget in this passage that Jesus and Peter walked back to the boat together. You're never walking alone. And sometimes you might think that everything that's happening is over your head, but it's always under his feet. Anything where you think that you're going below, you need to know that he is above it all. And while Peter sank, Jesus walked. And when he pulled Peter back up, he walked with him. Oh, friends, you need to know, he won't say no. Lord, save me. He'll save you. Number two, he won't let you go. You're not alone today. And he's not going to let you go in this storm. As a child of the king, you live in an unshakable kingdom of God, and the king's on the throne. He's got this. And you don't walk solo. We're not alone in the storm. What about Peter? What about the failure? I don't know. I read this so many times, and I look at this passage, and I see so many great qualities of Peter in this. The faith to walk on a word where no man has ever walked before. I don't believe it was the quantity or the quality of his faith that Jesus was talking about. When Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I believe that he had to have a smile on his faith, because Peter did have faith. The Bible says if we got faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Peter had mountain-moving faith and water-walking faith, even if it was a mustard seed faith. He had faith. And the problem wasn't his quality of faith. The problem wasn't the quantity of his faith. The problem was the duration of his faith. He did believe, but then he stopped believing. This is not the time for kingdom people to stop believing. This is not the time for kingdom people to stop putting our trust in God. It's the duration of our faith. So who stole your faith? Are you watching the wind and the waves? Oh, turn off CNN. Turn off Fox News. They're just loving the fear right now. Put your faith in God. Faith over fear. And here's the beautiful picture I was talking about. Jesus reaching into the water. Can you imagine Peter below the water? And he sees the hand coming down. And notice the little smile on Jesus' face. I just can't help but to believe. It's just my opinion, but I can't help but to believe that there was a smile when Jesus was reaching under the water as Peter's and Jesus is saying, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you mountain-moving water walker. But now you're all wet because you stopped believing. It wasn't the quantity. It wasn't the quality. It was the duration. Why did you doubt? Why did you stop? But I believe there's a smile on his face. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I'd rather fail in faith in a mighty storm than to be dry in a boat. I would rather be all wet, trusting in God, than be in a flotation device with my toilet paper, my water, and my sanitizer, trusting in those things that are not going to save me. I'd rather be all wet. Somebody has once said that it's better to have a wet Apostle Peter than a dry doubting Thomas. And it's okay that Peter's all wet. It's okay as he gets in the boat that he's soaking wet from head to toe. It's okay Jesus loves him, smiles. It brings us to our last point. Oh, there is praise in the storm. When they get back into the boat, then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." They began to worship him. I don't know why it took so long to figure that out. Didn't they see it in the baskets full? Didn't they see it when he was walking on the water, when they were scared he was a ghost? But they now see it when Peter, all soaking wet, gets into the boat with a dry Jesus. And they say, "Truly you are the Son of God." Oh, my God is a refuge, and I will trust in him. I will praise him in the storm. I will worship him when the market goes down. I will worship him when I don't know when we're coming back together as a church. I will worship him and trust in him that this is a new opportunity for us to reach further than we've ever reached before. I'd rather be wet in failure than dry in fear. And there's no time to dry off. Oh, Peter's wet in the boat, and there's no time for him to towel off, because the Bible says immediately they end up at the other shore. I tell you, when Jesus gets into the boat, you're going to reach your destination. Today I've got a promise for you. With Jesus in the boat, you're going to make it to the other side. It's a promise. You can count on his sovereignty, his sufficiency, his surety, and his supremacy. That's the immediate here, his supremacy. You can count on it. When Jesus is in the boat, you will reach your final destination. Peter's all wet, but there's no time to dry off. Why? Because as soon as they get to the shore, there's people there they need to serve. And so they get out of the boat, and Peter's sopping wet, and he's meeting needs. Oh, friends, you might be sopping wet in faith today, but there's people in our community that need to be served. We need to take our eyes off our own situation. We need to take our eyes off our own concern at this moment and look to the needs of others. I'm going to challenge you this morning to stop focusing on your own anxieties, but think about what the other people's anxieties are. Are you reaching out to your friends who have children and they can't get to work because their children are home this week? Have you offered your home? Have you offered to deliver food to families, children, as they're home maybe alone during this week? What are you doing? I know that immediately this week I stopped worrying about Oakwood and what we're going to do, and I called the schools. I called Brandon and I said, "Brandon, schools, what do you need? Oakwood is here. We will do what you need." I called Oxford Schools and I said to them, "We're here for you. What do you need from us? We've got a bus. We've got a building. We've got people." I'd rather be all wet in faith than dry in a boat. There is a plan, and there is peace, and there's promise in the storm. But let there be praise in the storm. Let there be praise in the middle of the storm today. My soul training exercise for us as a church: number one, I must stop worrying and start trusting. I want to remind you of that definition we gave over a month ago. Worry is a disproportionate level of concern based on an inappropriate measure of fear. Worry is a disproportionate level of concern based on an inappropriate measure of fear. He's in the boat. Number two, I must stop focusing on myself and start looking for ways to serve others. Helping others with their anxieties will help you with yours. Boy, as a church, today it ought to be a no-brainer. Contact somebody. Don't just show up at the house. It's not time for that right now. But make a phone call, send an email, send a text. I'm challenging you, 3 people in our congregation. Don't make it all be Doug, because I know Doug is loved. Don't make it all Pastor Bob. I know Pastor Bob is loved. But make sure we spread it out to everybody. We're concerned about Doug's health and David Borst's health, Pastor Bob's health. They've been in my prayers every moment of this week, knowing that this is a trying time. But we need to reach out. I challenge you, at least 3 people today, reach out and ask, "How are you doing? How can I help you? Is there anything I can do? Can I pray for a need? Can I show up for a need?" But let's meet needs today. The third thing, I must remind myself every day, and I end with this, as Christopher comes to the keyboard and he's going to play us out. We're going to sing and worship on the way out because there's praise in this storm. remind myself every day. I challenge you this week, 7 days this week before we meet again, I want you to say these very things. I'm a child of the King. Say it with me. I'm a child of the King. You didn't do it. Only half of you did it. Thank you, Barry. I'm a child of the King. Secondly, say it with me. I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. I want you to say these two things every day this week. Write it down. Put it on a mirror somewhere. Put it in your car if you have to leave the house to drive. Put it in front of you, is that you say these words every day. Not just say them, but mean them. I'm a child of the King. I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. The storm was planned. And it's a promise that God gives us that we're not alone. He didn't send this storm to harm us, but there is a plan in the storm. And there's peace in the storm. There's a promise in the storm. There's praise in the storm. I'm challenging you today. Think beyond yourself. When we're done with the song, I encourage you to shut it down and to pray together. It's a national day of prayer. Say a prayer for our nation. Say a prayer for the world. Say a prayer for our community. Say a prayer for our church. But let's not focus inward. Let's focus outward. See a need. Meet a need. The more we're seeing needs and meeting needs, the less we're worrying about myself. May God bless you, keep you in His perfect peace.